Number 16. Luke chapter number 16. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate the Lord for all that He's done. Appreciate His help in these days. Trust that He'll help us again tonight. Luke chapter number 16. We'll begin reading in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, for a few minutes on true riches. I thought about the day we're living in is put a lot of emphasis on stuff. What people have. Matter of fact, we're so caught up in what people have that we'll form our opinions about people by the way they dress and the car that they drive and the house that they live in and in what they have. I thought about we get so caught up and we mistake physical and material prosperity for spiritual prosperity in our day. And the Bible said that it would be so. He said that in the last days, which I believe that we are in the Laodicean church age, that they would be in an hour that they said we are rich and increased with goods and we have need of nothing. And they didn't realize that even though they had all the fine things, the nice buildings, the nice cars to drive and the nice clothes to wear, they didn't realize that they didn't have the most important thing, and that was the presence and the power of an Almighty God inside the house of God to do the work that needed to be done. And see, money can't buy what's went on around this place, and there's no price tag on revival, but I do know in my heart, I told God today, I said, Lord, I'd rather have what's went on in these days and to feel the stirring I felt in my heart than to have all the money the world has to offer 10 times over. I'd rather know I'm saved and I'm a part of the family of God and I'm in the right way. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, I know we're living in a day where the Bible said every man did that that's right in his own eyes. And there was a day that the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and there's many following a way that seems right, but I'm here to report to you there's not just a way that seems right, but there is a way that is right, and it's still the old time way, and it's still a holy way, and God's still blessing this way, and blessing those that'll follow this way. And I thought today about these two men, and I thought what people's opinions must have been of them. How they probably thought little of the beggar, because it looked to them like he didn't have anything. And they thought very highly of the rich man, because it appeared to them that he had everything. Probably lived in the finest house on the hill in the community. Probably drove the nicest car of anybody in the community. Probably had the biggest barns of anybody in the community. And probably the nicest ground of anybody in the community. Probably went to the biggest church in the community. And probably put the most money in the offering of anybody in the community. And as far as the world was concerned, and as far as physical eyes were concerned, it seemed as though that he had everything and the beggar had nothing. And if we're not careful, we get to looking around in our day. We'll get our eyes off of God, and we'll get our eyes off of this and off of that, and we'll get our eyes on what everybody else is doing, and we'll get our eyes on these new movements and these new ways. But I'm here to tell you, David said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither because of he that prospereth in his way, just because it's bigger and better, just because it's growing by leaps and bounds. And thousands are attending, and hundreds are coming to the altar. Don't mean they have the real stuff. But I'm glad tonight for those of us. We may be few in number, and the world might not like us, and it may not look like we've got a lot. But I'm glad we've got something that the world knows nothing about." I thought about the situation of the beggar. It didn't look too good. I mean, here he was, he didn't have a house of his own. Bible said he laid at the gate of the rich man. He wanted something to eat, didn't have anything seemingly, didn't have many friends. The dogs come and licked his sores. Everybody that walked by thought, "Poor old beggar. I mean, he don't have anything. He's not amounting to anything. Nobody's walking after him. Nobody's following him. He's not making a great move in the community. He's not contributing to society. He doesn't have a big following going after him." And I'm here to tell you tonight, if we're not careful, we'll get to thinking the same way and look around at our situation, and when it seems like everybody is going another way and nobody wants this old time way, but I'll stay with it. How about you? I'm glad there's something to this that the world doesn't have. They can have all the mega churches and the two services a morning, and they can have their worship leaders. I've got one. His name's the Holy Ghost. And when he says worship, I need to worship. We're not careful, we get to wringing our hands and worrying and twisting. I know it's a little different tonight, but this was on my heart. And I think we need to hear it as the people of God, because we get to wringing and a twisting our hands, because the church ain't busting out the seams, and we're not having to add on, and nobody seems to be interested in what we're doing. But I'm glad and thankful that there's something on the inside that is far greater than a building can contain and pews can contain. I'm glad there's something real and in this old time way, and I'm glad it's the truth and the power of God. Read about two women in the Bible. One of them's name was Hannah. The other one's name was Peninnah. And Peninnah was that modern day crowd. Every time she turned around, she was having a baby. I mean, didn't seem like she had to do anything, and she's having a baby. And Hannah didn't seem like she'd ever have a baby. I mean, she couldn't get the baby, and that's all she wanted was a baby. And she got to begging God for a baby. And the Bible said her adversary provoked her sore. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm saying all them years she didn't have one. Peninnah said, what's wrong with you? I mean, it don't take nothing to have one. You just sign them in on the card, shake their head, that's a pulpit, dunk them in the pool, you can have all you want to. But I'm glad there's a day when Hannah got serious with God, and she's willing to pay the price that God gave her a baby, and God touched that baby. I don't ever read where God used Peninnah, nor any of Peninnah's children, but I read that Hannah's child became the greatest prophet that God ever had. He spoke to him. I'd say it's still worth it to get him in the right way. It ain't about the baptisms. It ain't about the numbers. It ain't about writing back to wherever it is they write to. But it's about the right way. And it's about the truth and the true riches God has. I don't care about the dozens and the hundreds. Now, don't get me wrong. If God's really going to save them, I want them to come. But I'm not going to compromise the preaching of the Word of God just to get a number. But we're living in a day where they'll preach whatever they have to, or they'll keep from preaching whatever they have to have the crowd in the building. We're living in a day, and I know I hit it on Sunday, and I'm not trying to throw any stones. I'm just being real in reality. But we're living in a day of non-essential beliefs where they can do anything they want to. That's what that crowd I read after said. They said it was non-essential the way you dress to come to church. It was non-essential the type of music you listen to. It was non-essential what Bible you carry. Just come on the house of God. You say, what are they doing? They're being a Peninnah and getting all the children they can get. But I'm afraid they're twofold more of the child of hell. And they got religion. And they got what the world says is good. But they don't have true riches on the inside of them. So don't you hang your head down and think God's dead. Don't you hang your head down and think we're going to die out. We ain't going to. We're still the church of the living God. And we may be getting smaller and smaller, but we got a God that the smaller we get, the bigger He can get. And He's the majority anyway. You say me and God are the majority. No, no. God's the majority by itself. But He chooses to let us tag along and identify with Him. And I'm glad tonight to be a part of the head of crowd. I'm glad I got in. One blessed Tuesday night, and I'm glad it's still real, and I'm glad it still works in this day. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm in the right way. I don't know if I'll get off this, but it'll be all right. Feels pretty good in my heart. I look back over my life, brother, and I see how I could have easily went another way. I see how there's pulls and hooks in me to go a different route. And it would have been very, very easy for me to go this new way, this way of just name it and claim it, this way of no conviction. And by the way, you'll never get in without the conviction time of the Holy Ghost of heaven. You'll never get in without the preaching of the Word of God. And not just any preaching will do, but it's the preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of heaven. And I'm glad to be in and in the right way. They can have all their cards. They can have all their youth programs. We live in a day. I know I said it Sunday, but I'm back on the same horse again. It's all right. We live in a day where people shop by what the church has to offer. I mean, I'm telling you, it ain't about what I've got to offer. And if you're here tonight to see what I got to offer, you're out of luck. Because I don't have anything to offer you. But why don't we start majoring again about what He has to offer? And let that be enough. We don't need praise and programs and games and gimmicks. We need preaching and praying and singing and shouting. And we need the Holy Ghost. We need all-time worship in spirit and in truth. We need to speak only when we're spoken to and do what God says to do. You say, but if we do that, we'll not have a building program. Well, God never did say be successful. He didn't say you're not a legitimate church unless you have 1,000 in attendance. Amen? He didn't say you had to have 5. He said, well, 2 or 3 are gathered together. And not just gathered together, but gathered together in His name. I mean, if we're here for the right reason, it doesn't matter whether there's 5 or 5,000 of us. If we're here for the right reason, and we've got the real stuff, I'm glad He'll show up and do what we need in this day. Don't get caught up in our situation. I got good news for you. Our situation's good. Never has looked brighter. You say you're crazy. It's the darkest it's ever been. Yeah, but the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And I don't know about you, but it's been pretty bright in my life for the last few days around this place. The darkness has to take a back seat when He comes around. You say, why is that? Because the light, scientifically proven, the light is much stronger than the darkness. And when you flip on the light switch and the lights come on, the darkness has to flee. And I'm here to tell you tonight, He is the light. And in Him, there's no darkness at all. But I'm glad that when He shines, all the darkness, it runs away. And by the way, while I'm there, as long as we major on the light, ain't too many going to get in anyway. You say, why is that? Because John said men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. But I'm glad every now and again. It may not be 10 here and 20 there. It might just be a handful here and a handful there. But I'm glad every now and again. The darkness cannot contain the sinner. Because the light has been shed. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the light of the glorious gospel. Has went across the desk and into their recesses of their heart and shined the light. And God's turned the light switch on and showed them who they are and what they are and where they're headed. And if they ever get under that sheet, they'll either get in or get out. Yes, sir. I don't know how you've seen it in your day, but what little time I've been in it, if it ever really gets that thick, there's a whole lot more I've seen get in than get out. You say, why? Because He's compelling them. I'm inviting you. That's all I can do. The Bible said He sent the servants, plural, to invite them to come. That's all we do, extend the invitation. But I'm glad after the servants went, that the Bible said He sent the servants, singular, and He didn't just invite them, but He compelled them to come. And that word compel means to urge with an irresistible force. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is still drawing sinners. And I'm glad He don't need my help. And He don't need yours. But He can get them in. And He can save them once He gets them in. They got caught up, no doubt, on the beggar situation. I'd say some of them got caught up on his suffering. I mean, there he laid at the gate full of sores. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to suffer. It's in the book. All that we'll live godly in. You say you're discouraging me. Well, I'm trying not to. If you'll just hold on a minute, I'll get to the good part. You say, I don't want to suffer. Well, we're going to. If you're in the family of God, Jesus said they hated me first, and the master and the servants know better than the master, and so they'll hate you because they hated me first. But He said, my peace give I unto thee, not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. I'm glad I've got more than what the world has to offer. I'm glad I have peace unspeakable and full of glory, and it don't really matter. matter how much we suffer, I'm glad the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul suffered more than any man other than the Lord, I think. He said it was light affliction. I mean, if he could be shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and imprisoned and naked and starved and all these things, and he could call it light affliction. You say, how'd he call it that? Because he went on to say, our light affliction which endured but just a moment. See, all the things that happen to us here are just temporary. But he said it worketh for us a far more exceeded weight of glory. He said it ain't light what's over yonder. He said this affliction's light. This affliction's just a little bit. This affliction's just a little while. But he said there's a better day and a better land waiting on the other side. And you say, how'd he say that? The same reason Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible said he rent his clothes and fell down and worshiped God. You say, how'd they do it? Because it wasn't in their pocketbook, and it wasn't in their house, and it wasn't in their car, and it wasn't in their bank account, but they had true riches. See, I'm talking about something that's way better than what the bank has. I'm talking about something that comes with a better insurance policy than the Federal Reserve offers. I think they'll offer a coverage on about $750,000. And I knew a man in our county that had money in banks all over the county and all over the state because each bank would only insure so much. But I'm glad I've drawn air on an insurance policy that's far greater than $750,000 or any bank could ever give. I'm glad there's something better and greater for the people of God. They probably walked by and they thought, boy, the beggar's alone. I mean, there he lays at the gate full of sores. Nobody to talk to him. Nobody to comfort him. Nobody to bandage his wounds. Just some old dogs come and lick his sores. I mean, he ain't got a friend in this world. He's all alone. And sometimes I think the world looks at us and they say they're crazy. They're all alone. They don't have anybody. I mean, look at our building and then look at theirs. Look at our attendance and then look at theirs. But see, what they cannot see is there is a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. And he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I'm glad when everybody else forsakes, I'm glad he's a faithful friend. They got hung up on all that. Lord, help us. Let's not get hung up on all that. But the Bible said there came a day that the beggar died. And there came a day the rich man died. And that man they thought so much of, the Bible said he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You say, why, preacher? Because what he had didn't matter. What he had didn't please God. What he had didn't catch the attention of God. It wasn't what God was interested in. It wasn't what God was looking for. And when the rich man died, even though everybody probably preached him into heaven, the angels never went and got him. God never sent an escort for him. But the Bible said the beggar died. And it don't say anything about him even being buried. I don't know if he even had any money to afford a proper burial. You say, I don't want to be identified as a beggar if it's going to be like that. Well, I got news for you. You'll either be a beggar here or a beggar there. And I'd a whole lot rather be a beggar here. I'd rather know that my name's written down in heaven and be saved by the grace of God. I'd like the old writer of a song. I'd rather have Jesus than to have all the world has. I'd rather know what I know and be saved in my soul than to know what everybody else knows and die and go to hell. Nobody much probably gave the beggar a second thought. Probably walked by one day and picked up his cold body and cast it off into that, you know, that pit where they buried everybody that couldn't afford it. And they said, well, society's better off. Now he's gone. He's not plaguing us anymore. Not making the community look bad anymore. He's gone. And I'm going to tell you what, when some of us leave, the world's going to say that. Well, we're better off without them. We're glad they're gone. They're not plaguing our society anymore. They're not making our churches look bad anymore. But I'm glad when his heart quit beating and he exhaled for the last time, there was an escort, a dispatch from another world. And God said, I don't care what everybody else said about him. I don't care that they called him a beggar. I don't care what he looked like. I don't care that the dogs licked him yesterday. He said, he's mine. Go get him and bring him home. And the Bible said that the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. True riches. See, God had a different point of view than the world did. I'm going to tell you tonight, God's got a different point of view than what the world does. And he don't look at how nice we're dressed. And he don't look at how our hair's cut and the clothes that we wear and the cars that we drive. He don't look at our church membership. He don't look at any of that. But he looks on the heart. And I'm glad, just like we said the other night, I'm glad when he saves a soul that soul knows. But I'm even more glad he knows. And when one of his gets ready to go, I'm glad he gets the escort ready. And he says, go get them. They belong to me. And bring them home where they belong with me. I thought today, Lazarus couldn't have begged, done anything, and he never would have got a seat at the rich man's table. But he had one reserved at the king's. He never could get even a crumb that fell from the rich man's table, much less sit down beside him and scoot his legs up under the table. But I'm glad he had a reservation and a table far greater with a greater rich man than the one in purple and fine linen. But he had a seat at the table with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about true riches. Well, let's not get caught up in all that other stuff. Let's rejoice in what we have. It ain't no silver and gold, but that's all right. The Bible said that's corruptible. But what we have is incorruptible. An inheritance that fadeth not away, eternal in the heavens. I talked about the insurance policy, but we got an inheritance that's out of this world. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And one day we're going to fall heir to everything God has. And what old preacher said, and I like it, and I'd like to say it tonight, we're not really going to inherit it because God's never going to die. But I'm glad we can draw interest on it. And I'm glad through all the years of eternity, what He has to offer will never grow old, and it'll never fade away. But I'm glad it's a perfect place for a perfect people, and we will be perfect one day after a while. You may be here tonight, and at some point this week or in the weeks previous, you got caught up kind of wondering why this has to be this way, that has to be that way. I never read a one complaint by the beggar. He just sat where he was, made his way through, because he knew there was something better waiting in just a little while. And I'm here to tell you tonight, no point in worrying about what could be or should be or ought to be or what we can work up, because we can't work anything up. Don't be worried about what the church down the road or across the interstate or over there is doing. Let's just be happy and thankful for what we have way down on the inside of us that the world cannot offer. I'm talking about joy and peace and contentment and satisfaction and happiness. I'm glad there's things that God has for us that the world knows nothing about. And I'm glad it's true riches. And I'm glad I'm in all it tonight. Thank God for the real thing. There's a whole lot that are swept away and caught up in a fake and a fairy tale and a show. But I'm glad for the real thing. I'm glad it comes out on top every time. There's some magicians in Egypt thought they could copy God. And they might could have fooled a lot of people with a few things. But there come a day they could not do what God did. And all their efforts didn't help anybody anyway. It's an amazing thing to me, if they could have turned the water to blood and had that power, why didn't they help people and turn the blood back into water? If they could have called the frogs like Moses did, and the Bible records that they did so with their enchantments, why didn't they help people? And instead of calling more frogs on the land, why didn't they make the frogs go away? You say, why do you think? I think it's because they really weren't interested in the people anyway. They're interested in their name and what they can show out. But I'm glad for a God that's interested in His people, and He has our best interest in mind, and He wants to help us. We'll get the help. I'm glad for the real thing. You stand to your feet tonight. If you need to come pray, talk to God, whatever you need to do, the altar's open.